Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 6, verse 48 to verse 64. John chapter 6, verses 48 to 64. Now keep in mind while we read this passage, this topic, eating his flesh and blood. Eating his flesh and blood. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Now this is one of those passages that has been used by religion to teach communion for salvation, communion like a sacrament, or communion like observed every Sunday. But after study in this passage, you're going to see that, in fact, this passage can't be communion for salvation, either to be observed every Sunday, as is done in, for instance, the Church of Christ, or to be observed as a sacrament, as is done, for instance, in the Catholic Church. Now, Jesus used their attention to eating and drinking, back up there in verses 26 and 27 of the same chapter, as an opportunity to teach them about eternal life. Now remember, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So they came hungry, and he used their hunger and their desire to be fed as an opportunity to go into the preaching on eternal life. But in doing this, he also left a hook or a stumbling block for religions. And indeed, some religions have tripped terribly on this passage of Scripture, teaching that you must eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood to have eternal life. But you're going to see after studying this passage that there's no way you could eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood to have eternal life. Because, first of all, if what Jesus said here is literal, that is, that they had to literally eat his flesh and literally drink his blood, then Jesus Christ was teaching cannibalism. That's the first point. Here, if these are literal things that Jesus Christ is saying and not a springboard into the words of eternal life, then Jesus Christ was teaching cannibalism. Now, in fact, in the Bible, you can find cannibalism in many passages. I have a number of those marked in my Bible, but we'll give you a few. Look, for instance, in Leviticus chapter 26 at verse 29. Leviticus chapter 26 at verse 29, the Bible says, "And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat." Now, if you read the context of Leviticus chapter 26, you will see that the cannibalism Jesus, or the Bible, is talking about here is a cannibalism that results from a plague and a famine and a being besieged by an enemy. It stems from verse 21 of Leviticus chapter 26, where the Jews walk contrary unto God, and they will not hearken unto God. And he said, "I'll bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins." And then he goes in and describes the plagues, and the worst of it is that they get so hungry in the plague and so hungry in the famine that they literally eat their children. It's a terrible thing. Look at it again, Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it's prophesied that the Jews will do this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and look at verse 53. "And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee." See, they're surrounded and they can't get to the food. All the food in the storehouses is gone, and the only thing they have left to eat is their children. Look at verse 57. Same passage. "Toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates." Now there's an actual case of this historically in the history of the Jews. Look in 2 Kings chapter 6 and notice what happened. There's a great famine in Samaria, and the Samaritans are surrounded in a siege by their enemies, by Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And during this time, because of the famine and because of the siege, there's nothing for the people to eat. And in verse 27, the king says to some women that are crying for help, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 27, he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" He can't, because they're empty. Verse 28, "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him, and she hath hid her son." Now she hid her son not because she wanted to spare him so he could grow up and live. It's like Deuteronomy chapter 28 said, she hid her son so that when she finally got hungry enough, she could eat her son alone and not share him with anybody else. So if Jesus Christ was literally teaching eating his flesh for salvation, then he was teaching cannibalism, and the only time you see cannibalism show up in the Bible is a consequence of sin, where the Jews then have to eat some people in order to survive the judgments of God, and that's not what Jesus Christ was talking about at all. Furthermore, he said in verses 53 and 54, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus Christ not only was teaching cannibalism, but he was teaching a violation of God's direct command before the law, under the law, and after the law. Look in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4 follows the flood, and the Bible says, "But flesh, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." There is a direct command by God Almighty that they were not to eat blood. Look again in Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. This would be blood, not only of people, obviously, but not even blood of animals. Any blood of any animal that was to be sacrificed was to be poured out, either at the foot of the altar or poured out in the field, and buried. They were not to eat blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people." So if what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6 is literal, then every time anybody ate his blood literally, they'd be cut off from among God's people. Well, those are contrary. Now go to Acts chapter 15, following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Gentiles are getting saved and the Jews are trying to find out what kind of rules they should put on the Gentiles. Because, I mean, they've met to decide whether or not the Gentiles should be circumcised. They've met to see whether or not the Gentiles should have to keep the law of Moses. And when they finally conclude their council, they make this determination in Acts chapter 15, verse 20. "But that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." So following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were told by the Jews that they were not to eat blood. The Jews were told by God Almighty in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10, that they were not to eat blood. That covers everybody. So Jesus Christ, if he was speaking literally here, was speaking exactly contrary to the direct command of God Almighty in Genesis chapter 9, the directive command of God Almighty in the law in Leviticus chapter 17, and the direct command of God Almighty through the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, verse 20. Excuse me, Jesus Christ would never teach contrary to God the Father in any testament. So it can't be literal. Otherwise, he's teaching cannibalism. It can't be literal. Now, the second thing we find from the text is, therefore, well, and then look at one more thing. If in fact it was literal, he says to them in verse 62, "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" if he were to actually literal eat the flesh of the Son of Man, what are you going to do when he arises? He'd be gone. And there's no way you could eat his flesh and eat his blood unless you ate something that was turned into his flesh and blood. So that brings us to the second point. The Lord's Supper in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not literal flesh and blood. You ever notice that? In Matthew chapter 26, when they eat the Passover, verse 26 says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." What they were drinking was the fruit of the vine, and what they were eating was bread. In verse 29, he said unto you, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So he wasn't drinking blood. He was drinking the fruit of the vine, and they were eating bread. Well, the fruit of the vine is not even fermented wine like is used in some churches. They were eating unleavened bread of the Passover and drinking the fruit of the vine. Now, he said, this bread you're eating, this is my body, this cup that you're drinking, this is my blood of the New Testament. So what the Lord showed them then was the significance of the memorial of Exodus chapter 12, where the first Passover feast was observed. In Exodus chapter 12, there were very specific rules on the Passover concerning a lamb, and how it was to be prepared, and bread that was to be eaten, and all that other stuff. And he said, this thing is a feast, this thing is an ordinance, this thing is a memorial, this thing is a convocation. And he says, you know all that you've been doing for all these years, and that thing that we're doing tonight, this observing of the Passover, all that you've been doing all these centuries, and what we're doing here tonight is significant of what's fixing to happen. This bread is my body. This blood, this fruit of the vine, this cup is my blood. Therefore, Christ is the Passover. Oh, now I see. He wasn't setting something down that was new. He was referring to something that was old. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. Now we see. Oh, as they were observing the Passover that had been prepared by the disciples, you know, they said, where should we go and prepare the Passover? As they were preparing that, and the first part of that thing was eating unleavened bread, the next day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the priest was going to kill the lamb, and that's exactly the time when the soldier pierced Jesus Christ in the side. So this observance of unleavened bread the night before the killing of the lamb, he says that whole thing is my flesh and my blood are fixing to be sacrificed for you. I am the Passover. Ah, now we begin to see. So therefore, the third thing, the communion now that we observe is not a sacrifice, it is a memorial. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul received this directly by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples received it directly as a revelation of Jesus Christ the night before his crucifixion. And Moses received it in Exodus chapter 12. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, not flesh. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. The same manner he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is a memorial, not a sacrifice. That's why Hebrews 10 was written. It is a memorial, not a sacrifice. Now listen very carefully to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Get this. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Well, if you offer it every Sunday, then it's not once for all. The once for all is the crucifixion. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I did that. I went to the seminary to be a priest. And at 6 o'clock every morning, I was the altar boy for the priest. And when he offered, he was offering an offering and a sacrifice every day. And this verse says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So he's ascended up into heaven. There's no way you could eat his flesh and his blood. from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's a memorial, not a sacrifice, and there's no way, therefore, to eat his flesh and his blood. They say, well, what about transubstantiation? He didn't transubstantiate anything in Matthew chapter 26. He didn't transubstantiate anything in John chapter 6. And we don't transubstantiate anything today. It's bread and the fruit of the vine. It is a memorial, not a sacrifice. All right, I'll give you an example. This is the fourth thing I want you to see. In John chapter 4, remember back there when he dealt with the woman on the well? That woman didn't drink anything to get the living water. Notice in verse 10 of John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said, Sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us of the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what? Read the rest of this chapter. She never drank the water. She said, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He then told her about her husband. She goes and finds people. They come back and say, they believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And in verse 42, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. She never drank anything in order to have the living water. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ said in verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow living waters. The way then to get the living water is by believing what he said. The way to get the flesh and blood is by believing what he said. And Jesus makes that clear in John chapter 6. He said in verse 57, As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Well, Jesus didn't go over there every night to eat some of his Father and drink some of his Father's blood. That's ludicrous. Cannibalism is a violation of everything in the Bible. Genesis 9, Leviticus 17, Acts chapter 15. It's ludicrous. He said, As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even so he shall live by me. It's the same way. Well, then how did Jesus Christ live by the Father? He lived by the Father by doing the words of God. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Verse 28, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. That's the way Jesus lived by the Father. That's the way he told them to live by him. Look at it again in John chapter 12, verse 49. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Then it's in the words. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Why? Because the everlasting life is in the words. Even the Holy Spirit, when he comes in John chapter 16, verse 13, doesn't tell you anything about eating flesh and blood. He talks about words. John 16:13, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the life that Jesus Christ was talking about in John chapter 6 is in believing the words. See, I don't believe that. Well, then look at verse 63 and believe what God said. John chapter 6, verse 63, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Remember John chapter 3? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Therefore, if you could eat his flesh, it wouldn't do you any good. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. There it is. If you want the Spirit that quickeneth, and you want life, then you have to have his words. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and it's the Spirit that quickeneth, and they are life, and that's what he was preaching about. Because the flesh profiteth nothing. You go on Sunday and you eat what you think is the transubstantiated flesh of Jesus Christ and drink what you believe to be the transubstantiated blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're deceived. That's a religion of cannibalism. That's not right. You have to believe what he said. You say, really? Yeah, look at verse 64. There are some of you that believe not. There it is. When he challenged Peter on whether he was going to follow the rest of the disciples at Split, Simon Peter answered in verse 68 and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter knew it was the words. Jesus said it was the words. The Father said it was the words. And the idea that people have gotten tripped up about having to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ and drink his blood is a religious stumbling block that Jesus Christ never taught. So in conclusion then, in this passage of John chapter 6, if Jesus Christ is literally speaking about his flesh and blood, he was teaching cannibalism contrary to the Bible. The Lord's Supper in Matthew is not literal flesh and blood. It's symbolic of the Passover. The communion we now have is a memorial, not a sacrifice of his flesh and his blood. The woman at the well didn't drink anything to get the living water. She simply believed him. Jesus Christ lived by the Father by doing and saying his words. And if you want life, then you are going to have to believe the words of God. Is that not what Jesus said in verse 28? Then said he unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You want eternal life? Believe Jesus.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.